Chapter 6 is where we'll be looking at. And in reading at verse 9, Matthew 6 and verse 9, it says, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen." Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you once again for this model prayer you've given us, Lord. We pray you would help us to understand each facet of it more clearly, that we may pray in a way that honors you, pray more effectively, Lord. We just ask your blessing upon us both now and as we go to Caleb later tonight, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we began last week. We looked at the phrase, "Our Father which art in heaven." We want to continue in this, and we recognize that this is a pattern given to us by the Lord Jesus. Every phrase is significant. And with this, what we call the Lord's Prayer, we can repeat it word for word. It's something that's within our memory, and it's a good thing, but sometimes we can say something and not even really know what it means, not really understand the significance. And I think that's certainly true with this next phrase where it says, "Hallowed be thy name," that the word "hallowed" is something that we don't really see much in kind of our vocabulary nowadays. Sometimes I think kind of the main one that we think of is, well, there's Halloween, that kind of has that word in it, but we sort of think of hallowed, maybe it means holy and being sacred or something, and we look at Halloween and that sort of, well, we know of Halloween, there's hardly anything kind of holy or sacred in that festival at all. And it's kind of the idea as well, we've heard some ways of different places, institutions, that they're called hallowed halls, and we don't exactly know what that means either. So we want to learn what this word means. If this is to be part of our prayers, we want to have the sense of it. And in the New Testament, there's not very much use. It's basically this passage here, and then the passage in Luke that the Lord reiterates the Lord's Prayer that speaks of it. But we find in the Old Testament that it's mentioned in many different places. We see, first of all, in Exodus chapter 20, this is kind of the first place we see this word mentioned. Exodus chapter 20, and it's speaking of to them, it's the commandment to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. And it says, verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it," that the Lord hallowed the Sabbath day, and they were to observe that. So then we see also Exodus chapter 24. I believe that's Exodus 24. Oh, no, it must be Exodus 29. I'm not reading my writing properly here. Yeah, Exodus 29, verse 1. It says, "And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them, to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office, take one young bullock and two rams without blemish." That it speaks of Aaron and his sons that were hallowed. And so we think of it that you have the week that was, a week of 7 days, there were 6 days of work, but the Sabbath day was separated from them, was set apart for a specific purpose. And we think of that with Aaron and his sons, that they were part of the nation of Israel, but they were separated, they were taken, and they were hallowed for this ministry of being priests, being the mediators between God and man for the people. We see as well different places. Exodus 40 and verse 9, it speaks of the tabernacle. And we find these same words when Solomon dedicated the temple as well. And it says, "And thou shalt take the anointing oil, and anoint the tabernacle, and all that is therein, and shalt hallow it, and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy." That it's the idea that it's something set apart, and once it's set apart, that it has a holy use. And there's many different verses in the scriptures, especially in Leviticus and other places, but there are a lot of different things that were hallowed unto God. There was different items for the service of the temple, the different instruments and utensils that they were hallowed. There's actually different types of food that it was given unto the Lord, and it was hallowed. It was set apart. We actually find in Numbers chapter 16, when there was the sons of Korah, they had the rebellion on their hands, and the Lord told every one of the heads of the different families to come before the Lord with these censers, and the Lord was going to show which one was acceptable. And what happened is a fire came down from heaven and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. But we find with their censers that was kind of the only thing that was left. It's kind of always kind of gives a picture that they were sort of holding up their censers with the incense and expecting the fire to come down and show which one was accepted of God. Instead, the fire came down and consumed them, and the only thing that was left was the censers. But we see that, speaking of Eleazar, this is verse 37 of Numbers 16. "Son of Aaron the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning and scatter out of the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. The censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before the Lord, therefore they are hallowed. And they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel." That they were offered before the Lord, and that made them something that was hallowed. And we see as well in the scriptures that Lord spoke that the firstborn of every family, that they were hallowed, that he separated them, that they were to minister to him. And so the Levites, when they took the role of being the ministers before the Lord, that they actually had to pay, each family had to pay a redemption price to redeem their firstborn. Otherwise, that they would have to of necessity serve the Lord. And so, with all of these different things, we get the sense that the word hallowed is the idea of to dedicate, to separate, to consecrate, to set apart and to treat as holy. And I think the verse that gives us the clearest understanding of that is found in Leviticus chapter 22. Leviticus chapter 22, verse 32, that the Lord is speaking to them, that they are to keep his commandments and do them. And verse 32 of Leviticus 22, God says to them, he says, "Neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you." That he has a holy name. And we recognize that when he says, "Hallowed be his name," that his name is holy, but the idea of hallowed be his name is to set it apart as holy, to sanctify it, to put it in the place that it belongs. That the name of God needs to be honored and respected. It needs to be a holy thing unto us. And we need to separate it from the things of life and put it in its proper place. And it's something we see in our sin-cursed earth, and as sin-cursed human, our tendency so often is that we take the things of God that are high and holy and we bring them down to our level instead of raising ourselves up to embrace those things. We see this spoken of in Ezekiel chapter 22 as he lists the many reasons why God is bringing judgment upon them. This is Ezekiel 22 and verse 26. It says of the nation, Ezekiel 22:26, "Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them." And so that was the thing, that there is, we understand a difference between what is holy and what is profane. And God's name is holy. It is to be lifted up and exalted. But we understand in our society that it is brought down to the mud, that his glorious name, we think of the Lord, we think of Jesus Christ, that's so often we can hear that glorious name used as a swear word, that it's brought down into the filth of conversation that is corrupt. That there's so much things of God are just depreciated, devalued, that even sadly we see with some different translations that come around these days that trying to appeal to younger generation or to people that don't go to church, that some of them we actually find they translate things and they actually have put in different swear words to kind of make it kind of fit more with the vernacular of the day. And it's an unfortunate thing that God is mocked, that it is not the way that it should be. It's like the idea that, say if you had, I think every house usually has some kind of fine china, whether they inherited it or whether it was given as gifts, that there's usually some certain dishes that are kind of your best dishes that you save for really special occasions. I know we have some that we got at a wedding, and it sort of will use it if the queen ever stops by to visit kind of thing, but that's probably never going to happen. But it's kind of that idea that you have something that's set apart, something that's precious, something that's very valuable. And you take that thing, that dish, that and you use it to serve scraps of food to your dog with. That you bring it down to that level, something that should be valued, that it's just kind of thrown in the mud and in the filth. And that's what happens in this world today with the precious name of the Lord and with his reputation and the thoughts that there's so many that mock God and despise him and essentially take his name and try to throw it in the mud. But it's the thing is, as believers, as his people, that's not the way that we want it to be with us. That essentially, even though the whole world might cast his name in the mud, that we take it up and we clean it off and we set it back in the position that it deserves in our life, that we value it. The Lord spoke of how there was many that profaned his name, that were dishonoring him. We see this is Malachi chapter 1 verse 6, and we read this last week a bit, but it says, "A son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible." We see also verse 11 of that same passage. It says, verse 11 of Malachi 1, "For from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. And he said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and ye brought that which was torn, and the lame and the sick, that she brought an offering, should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord. That it's that thought that his name is to be exalted amongst the Gentiles. We're to put it in a high place. We're not to mix the holy with the profane. But that is our nature. That so often we do that. But we have to make that decision that we would not do that anymore. And we see actually with in Ezekiel, it's interesting as you, there's much to kind of study out where it speaks of this temple in a future time and how it all is to work and to function. It's certainly beyond anything that we've ever seen and beyond our understanding, and we'll, one of those things that we'll understand it better by and by. But we see it speaks of the priests that will minister in this temple of the future, and it says, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And that's what we want to learn to do, is the difference between the holy and the profane. And that we raise up the Lord's name, that the name of the Lord would be hallowed. And as we approach him, that we set him apart in our lives, that we value him and honor him in the way that he is deserving of. We are reminded of Moses and of Joshua when they came before the presence of the Lord, that they were told, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And when we pray, we are entering into the presence of God. In a sense, we are entering into holy ground. And it is not something that we are to be flippant or kind of careless or thoughtless of these things, that we want to treat the things of God with respect, that we want to value them as they should be. That in the Old Testament, for a man to see God was a fearful thing. There was the fear that they would die once they had seen God because they were unworthy. And as believers in the New Testament era, it is because of Christ's atoning work that we can come in boldness and not fear. But we recognize in that that in order for us to have that access, that is because of the great punishment that he bore so that we could enter into the presence of the Father. And so it should give us pause. And we recognize that pride and selfishness and sin has no place in his presence. That we come before him in prayer, not demanding of him for him to do our bidding, but we recognize him as God. We come before him in humbly petitioning him. We come before him in brokenness. And as we come before him in that proper way, that we understand that he will respond unto us as well. Isaiah 57 in verse 15, it says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And so we want that contrite heart, that we put God in the place that he should have, the place that he is deserving of, that his name is holy, and we hallow his name as we approach him, that his name would be hallowed in our hearts and in our lives. Romans 2, verse 24, Paul speaks against the Jews that though they spoke the law, they spoke the truth, they didn't follow the law themselves. And he said that the name of God was blasphemed amongst the Gentiles through them. Because they, as the people of God, did not honor him by their lives. And we do not want that worthy name by which we are called to be blasphemed. We want to make it holy. We want to live hallowed lives unto the Lord. We looked at our verses. We were going through the study of Isaiah 8 and verse 13, where it says, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. That we set him apart, that we hallow him in our heart and lives, that we don't fear men who can only kill the body and do not have power to kill the soul. We fear the God of heaven and earth, and we follow him. And we see as well in 1 Peter 3 In verse 15 it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks for your reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And that is the thought, that we sanctify the Lord. We hallow Him. We hallow His name. That is our focus. That we look at prayer, and so often as we kind of, we're young Christians, we think of prayer just kind of as my opportunity to give my wish list to the Lord and just to have Him kind of fill in what I want to have Him give me. But there's so much more involved in prayer. And we saw last week how it's an opportunity to enjoy and develop our relationship with our Heavenly Father. But also we see that it is an opportunity that we can worship Him, that we can honor His name, that we can lift it up. That in the world around us, others may not look at it as God as being high and lifted up. They may not have any interest or even concern or even any thought of the Lord. But we say to ourselves, though others may not exalt His name, I will. I'm going to use this opportunity of prayer to do that, to exalt Him with, and not just in the time I have with prayer, but in my whole life, with my heart, with my words, with my life, with everything, that people could see in my life that the name of God is hallowed, that it is a holy thing, that I honor the Lord, and I serve Him with reverence and godly fear. And in doing that, as we approach God in this way, I'm quite certain that He is honored by it, and that He is honored to bless us in our prayers as we put Him in that place of which He is so deserving. All right, so let's turn to one more hymn before we close. Number 70, I believe it was. Holy, holy, holy. Number 70.